This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Adrienne Hill. We're devoting today's show to covering the basics of saving money in this part of our special series on personal finance. And one key to being a successful saver, and pretty much successful at anything, is asking the really basic questions. So we've got a good guide through our saving basics today, Liz Weston. She's a personal finance expert who can be found online at AskLizWeston.com. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Adrienne.
So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
The U.S. savings rate is about 3.2% right now, which sounds low. I mean, is that as bad as it sounds?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's been worse, definitely right? Been worse. I think we got into negative territory for a while, so it is an improvement. But the reality is we need to be saving a lot more.
What does it tell us about the economy as a whole that we're saving at this 3% rate right now?
Well, obviously better than it was because, you know, people aren't having to raid their savings. They aren't having to put everything on a credit card.
Right.
But it does tell you that people are still struggling with incomes that are just not keeping up. You know, we are not back to where we were in the late 90s in terms of median income. So we've been losing ground all that time. And it's really tough for people when they don't have as much income and their costs are rising to prioritize and get everything done that they need to do.
So let's go to the phones right now. We have Judy on the line from Eagle Rock. Hi, Judy.
Hi.
So tell us, what's your question?
Well, I live paycheck to paycheck, pretty much. After my rent and groceries and everything, I'm left with maybe $10.
Ouch.
And I mean, I don't know if I should just get another job in order to save or, I mean, just put away $5. What can I do?
Yeah, what do you do when savings just isn't an option?
Well, and Eagle Rock is part of Los Angeles. It's a, you know, and Los Angeles is a very expensive place to live, mm-hmm. So it can be tough. You know, you can try looking at your expenses and see if you can cut, see if you can get a roommate, those kind of things. But honestly, the better thing to do is make more money, get more income. I don't know, what job do you do, Judy?
I'm a medical assistant.
Okay, so you're already in a field that's growing, so that's good. Is there a position you could get to if you got some more training or if you switched jobs that would pay you more?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably.
Do you have a family, Judy? Sort of, what are your responsibilities?
I am a single mom. I have two boys. And, you know, it's really hard to take care of everyone and save money at the same time. But we started clipping coupons and, you know, doing little things like that. But it's still every dollar is a stretch.
Yeah. There's some great resources out there for you. The Dollar Stretcher is one of the oldest websites that, you know, looks at frugal living and thrifty living. And there's a lot you can do to trim expenses, especially when it comes to groceries. Even with two growing boys, you can really – that's probably where there's the most wiggle room in people's budgets. But I still come back to the fact you can only cut so far. And it really
right.
is easier to live your life, to have a more balanced budget, and to save – if you're making more money. And I know it's tough being a single mom. You got the kids to look out for. How are you going to squeeze in, you know, studying, extra classes, things like that? It's definitely tough. But a little investment now could really pay off in the future, especially if you've got a job where you're not, you know, really earning enough to make a decent living.
So there's things like getting back to school, looking for another job, building an emergency fund. When you're dealing with $10 at the end of the month, what do you prioritize?
Yeah, that's really tough because what I always tell people, the priority has to be saving for retirement. And that just seems like, well, that's way down the list. Are you crazy? But, you know, you're going to get old faster than you think. And the fact is, it gets harder and harder to catch up the longer you put it off. So if you're in a situation where you're really left with 10 bucks after you've paid all the bills, you know, the quickest thing to do is look at the bill, see where you can cut. Look especially at the big expenses. Look at your rent. Look at what you're paying for a car. See if there's any way. Those are the hard ones to trim, but those are really big chunks of your budget. So if you can get those down, you can free up more money. But again, if there's a situation where you just can't cover all the bases, then you got to look at, okay, where can I get more income? If it's a job on the weekends, if it's a job after, you know, hours, if it's going back to school for a while, you know, maybe prioritize that for a while and get that paid for. But really, you got to get saving for retirement as soon as you can.
Why do you say that retirement accounts are more important than emergency funds? This seems like something that not everyone agrees on.
I know, and it's kind of counterintuitive until you understand the power of compounding. and how powerfully it can work against you if you don't take advantage of it. Here's the thing. If you don't start saving for retirement by the time you're 35, say, it gets harder and harder and harder to catch up, to the point where if you're trying to start in your mid-50s, you have to save almost half your income to
Wow.
have any shot at not having a big drop in your lifestyle. So people think, oh, I can put this off. I can catch up later. Well, the reality is you probably can't. And the money you put aside, the earlier you do it, the more time it has to grow. If you save adequately in your 20s and 30s, you got a tailwind behind you, and your life is going to be a heck of a lot easier than if you're trying to do other things first and then catch up.
Judy, I hope that helps. Good luck to you.
It does. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Liz, it brings me to another question about putting money to work. So let's say you do have a little bit of money to save. You want to build that emergency fund. Right now, putting money in a bank can feel kind of like a loser's deal, right? I mean, the consumer price index went up 0.5% last month. I can't get that in my bank account
yeah,
in a year.
I know.
What do you do? How do you think about sort of saving and feeling good about it?
Well, think about what an emergency fund is for. That is the cash that you need to grab or may need to grab really quickly. You don't want to put it at risk at all. It needs to sit there in its rocking chair and be ready for you when you need it. So that means an FDIC-insured bank account. Now, you can get a little bit more than the 0.25% you're getting at your brick-and-mortar bank by going online. You know, Capital One has an online bank, Ally, mm-hmm. Immigrant Direct, FNBO. All these places offer a little bit more. So that's a place to put it.
So this brings us to our next caller, Shannon in Memphis, Tennessee. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
So what's your question?
My husband and I have finally saved up a bit of an emergency fund. It's enough to cover us for about 3 months if there was an emergency, our most important expenses. And so the question is, what's the best place for this money? But then the other question is more of a general sort of philosophy. How accessible should this money be? Like, how liquid does it need to be?
Okay. Those are great questions.
They are good questions. And what's the answer?
Well, very, very, very liquid. I mean, this is the money that you may need if you lose your job tomorrow. So it needs to be somewhere where you can get to it. But interestingly, it shouldn't be too easy to get to. I don't like to have emergency funds at the same bank where I have my checking account. Because it's just a little too easy to transfer things over. And now that we're all connected online, maybe that's just a barrier that exists in my head. But when I have to go to my online bank and transfer the money out, it's a little bit more of a big deal. And I know some people who keep their money, their emergency fund, in a credit union. They do nothing else at the credit union, but they've got it there. So they actually have to walk in to get the money. So if you have this situation where you keep building up an emergency fund and then you keep spending it, and not necessarily for emergencies, you may want to put a little barrier there. But other than that, the money needs to be really, really accessible.
So should we be taking the money that we currently have and moving it? We do have a separate bank account with checkings and savings account, and then we do have an online account that is a cash account. Should we be moving it just into that cash account?
Well, the nice thing about online banks is that you can create sub-accounts and you can label them whatever you want.
So, yes, I've actually done this. I have a vacation account
yeah.
and a future car account, and you can actually say, all right, we're going to move this much money here and this much money here. And oh, look, I can afford a vacation.
Yeah. And it's really nice. And the thing that I liked about it is before I had all my emergency fund and those, saving it for property taxes and insurance payments and all that. It was all in one big lump. And I never was really sure, did I have enough to cover this? Did I have enough to cover that? So those online sub accounts allow you to clearly label it. And now we have one thing that's just emergency fund. That's if, the roof caves in, we got it covered. And then there's taxes and insurance and vacations and Christmas or the holidays, whatever it is for you, all clearly labeled so you know how you're progressing towards those goals. And I just think that's kind of an easier way to run things than to worry about, oh, geez, what if Bernanke says the wrong thing and interest rates pop up again and I lose another 5% of my bond fund? I think it's just easier to put it in some boring, easily accessible place. Another idea that I wanted to throw out is if you're not saving enough for retirement, and you're worried about an emergency fund, because to me, retirement is more important than that emergency fund.
Okay.
But if you want to try to do both, a Roth IRA might be something to look into. And
now, this
no
is a basic show, so I'm going to stop you here, Liz, and have you define.
Okay.
Since all this month we're focusing on the basics, Roth IRA.
Okay. A Roth IRA is a retirement savings vehicle. You don't get any tax deduction when you put the money in. but all the money comes out in retirement tax-free. So for a lot of people, the Roth IRA is the best thing since sliced bread. The other thing that's good about it is what I just explained, that when you put your contributions in, you can always take them back without any tax consequences. That's not true of the earnings that the money makes, but if you put in $2,000, you can always take that $2,000 out. So some people use it as sort of a hybrid between, you know, retirement and emergency fund. Now, if it's retirement, you want to invest it for retirement. That means stocks and bonds. That means taking some risk. But in the back of your mind, you can always think, well, in an emergency, I can, you know, pull out my contributions and not have to worry about taxes.
Great. Shannon, I hope that helped.
Yeah, that does help. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the show.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
So, Liz, I'm going to have you stick around. We're going to talk more about other types of retirement accounts when we come back. This is Marketplace Money from APM. Personal finance expert Liz Weston is with us now, answering some of our basic questions about savings and retirement accounts. We just talked about Roth IRAs, but I wonder if you can go through other types of retirement accounts for us. Just basics. What do you got to know?
Oh, there's so many of them. So it's kind of an alphabet soup. But really, for most people, the most important is the 401k that they've got at work. Mm-hmm. 401k is a workplace retirement plan that allows you to put aside money with a tax deduction for retirement. It grows tax deferred. You get to take that money and invest it in various options so that it has a chance to grow. And with most companies, you also get a match, which is free money. Free money is always good. If you don't have a 401k or a 403b, something like that at
and
work.
And a 403b is?
Like a 401k, but it's usually offered by hospitals or nonprofits.
Great.
So just a different part of the tax code, works pretty much the same. So if you don't have one of those at work, that doesn't mean you're off the hook. You still have to save for retirement. Want to look into traditional IRAs, which is a retirement account you can set up yourself. This year you can put in $5,500 if you're under 50, or an extra $6,000, so $6,500 if you're 50 or over. And with a traditional IRA, you do get a tax break, mm-hmm. you know, with the money that you put in typically. And then we talked about Roths, which are another way to go. It's a way to have money in different tax buckets in retirement. Because when you put money into a 401k or a 403b or a traditional IRA, it's typically taxable when it comes out.
Okay.
You put money in a Roth, it's not taxable. So you can kind of manage your tax bill in retirement. That's why people are so excited about Roths and talk about it all the time.
Now, why would you choose a traditional instead of a Roth?
I think if you are like most people, you're going to be in a lower tax bracket in retirement. Mm-hmm. So the tax break is more valuable now than it will be then. The other thing is you're probably going to spend all or most of your money. So another big advantage of the Roth is that you don't have to take the money out during your lifetime. That's a real boon for people who have a lot of money, don't expect to use it all in retirement, and want to pass it on to their kids. So, you know, a Roth is great for that, but most people aren't going to be able to take advantage of that. So there's a lot of, you know, things to think about when you're
right.
doing this, and it's really tough. But what I usually say, if you're young and you're saving a lot for retirement, then take advantage of your 401k, but also consider the Roth. If you are struggling to catch up, if you're not in that high, you know, if you don't expect to be in that high of a tax bracket in retirement, maybe go with the traditional IRA instead.
And one other question we get a lot on Facebook and from our listeners is whether or not you should roll over your work retirement accounts when you take that next job.
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, don't cash it out.
Right.
That's the most important thing. Way too many people do that. Like 42% just cash it out.
When they take another job.
Yeah, and it's crazy. It's like, or when they lose their job, mm-hmm. maybe they think they need that money, you know, for living expenses, but you lose 25 to 50% of it to taxes and penalties, and you lose all that beautiful future tax deferred compounding. And I tell people, you know, if you take out $1,000 from a retirement plan, that's going to cost you at least $10,000
wow.
in future retirement funds. If you're younger, it costs even more. If you do that in your 20s, every $1,000 costs you $20,000. So don't do it. Now, a lot of the, you know, companies out there are trying to get you to roll your 401k into their IRAs. The reason they're so excited about that is because you're likely to pay more.
Okay.
Because retail funds and IRAs typically are more expensive. So if you're leaving a big company and they have a great retirement plan and they have lots of good choices, institutional funds that are really cheap, maybe you just want to leave it there.
And just have two retirement accounts from
yeah.
work.
There are worse things than having too much money in too many accounts. So the other thing you could do is transfer it, if your employer, new employer agrees, transfer it directly into the new plan. Then you've got one less to worry about. And it's not a bad thing to roll it over into an IRA. Just be careful about what you're paying for those funds that you're buying with it.
Great. And we've got one more question for us. Now, Aaron, in Portland, Oregon, are you here with us?
I am.
So tell us your situation.
Well, I was juggling for about 6 months with the decision of whether or not to pull some money out of my 401k account to fund a down payment for my first house or my first condominium.
And you just heard Liz give every reason not to do it, and you went ahead and did it, right?
I did. And let me give you just a little bit of a context in the background. We have a defined benefit 401k, so there's no match. The company automatically specifies a certain percentage of your salary and then a performance compensation bonus. So by taking out money, I was not hurting a match. So that was part of it. And the other part is here in Portland, it was the time to get into the market. Prices were at bottom and were rising. Interest rates were rising. And my job situation, I made the judgment call that it was going to be stable for long enough to get a positive return on the condo, which is about two and a half years.
And Aaron, how old are you?
38.
And how are you feeling about the decision now that you've got this condo?
Well, I close next week, so it's not in my hands yet. I feel positive about it. I would not have made this decision a year ago. But as a year went by, I have enough money in my emergency fund to cover paying back the entire 401k loan in case I was laid off tomorrow. So I wouldn't have to do that prepaid penalty. And that made all the difference, was having that emergency fund large enough so that if trouble did come up, I might be broke and have to put expenses on credit cards. But at least I wouldn't lose 30% of my retirement for a pre-withdrawal.
Aaron said the magic word, loan. Loans are very different from withdrawing money from an IRA or an other workplace plan.
So, explain that.
Okay. A loan from a 401k is something that you can pay back. You're essentially borrowing your own money and paying it back over time. I'm assuming you've got a five-year repayment plan, Aaron, is
correct.
That right? Okay. And what's the interest rate that you're paying on that?
Oh, I think it's like 3%.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to beat you up over that. I mean, sometimes opportunities come up. I don't think people should be quick to tap into their retirement funds. I really think they should double and triple think before they ever withdraw money, which is what some people do. They think, oh, I can take $10,000 out of my IRA for a down payment. I'm going to do that. You don't have to pay penalties on that, but you do have to pay the taxes. And again, what we talked about, the loss of all that beautiful tax-deferred compounding.
Right.
So you really don't want to be cracking into those nest eggs prematurely if you can avoid it. But here you have something that probably is going to grow in value, the purchase that he made, and he's not taking the money out permanently. He's just borrowing it and putting it back. And as he said, at the big downside of 401k loans, you lose your job, you have to pay that money back. He's got a source he can tap to do that. So actually, Aaron, you have my blessing. He didn't do a bad thing.
Congratulations, Aaron.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And thanks for taking my question.
You bet. Enjoy that condo.
Will do. Cheers.
And Liz, thanks so much. I feel like we've learned a ton about savings today.
I'm so pleased.
Liz Weston is a personal finance expert. Her latest book is The 10 Commandments of Money, Survive and Thrive in the New Economy. Thanks so much, Liz.
My pleasure, Adrian.